Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew, chapter 14, we'll read verses 22 through 33 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for our church. Lord, thank you for your family being together. Thank you for those that are visiting. Father, please, may we focus our minds and our attention on the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for our man of God. I pray that you'd help him today. Lord, as he has spent many, 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 many hours with you all these years and has gotten things from you, as he translates those things to us, may we pay attention so that we could help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I said on the platform this morning, I examined the crowd. I looked into one section and I seen someone whose heart was broken. They deal with a grandchild who is very, very sick. I looked into another section and I seen a family that was hurting because of issues within the family. Yet another, I looked and I saw in a section someone sitting there and there is cancer in their body. I looked into one section and I seen a lady sitting by herself because her husband's now in heaven. Yet another where someone lost a job. Yet another where I know the burden and the broken heart. I can't go but many pews throughout this auditorium to find people that are facing the storms of life. You may see a smile on the face when they come into the auditorium, but so many times behind those smiles there are broken hearts. This morning I preach a sermon I call The Reasons for Our Storms. Yesterday was an unusual day, if you ask me. Here it is October, and all of a sudden we got all that white stuff. And it came at us pretty quickly. It all depends on who you're talking to and where they were as to how much snow we received. Some an inch or two, some 20 or 30 feet. But a bit odd that we would get it like that this early in the season. I was out and we were at the doctor's offices and in the hospitals, and oh my, the cancellations that were taking place and power loss and confusion and people stuck. I was stuck for a minute. Thank God for Mrs. Owens. She said, treating the truck that way won't help you get out of this. I always appreciate her counsel. The storm can produce anger, confusion, loss of power. You can get stuck. May I ask, are you spiritually suffering a power loss because of a storm in your life? Are you confused and stuck? Has it messed up your schedule and routine? And I'm talking about a burden or a heartache that has brought chaos. That's what a storm will do to you. The reasons for our storms. Let me remind you of the story that I read, or that Brother Bush helped us to read earlier. Jesus tells his disciples to get on a ship, and they are instructed to go to the other side of the sea. He went then to a mountain to pray. Evening came upon them. The ship was in the middle of the sea. The disciples were on it, and a storm hit. And Jesus came to them walking on the water. At first, his appearance created fear among the disciples. They wondered, is this a spirit? And then Jesus spake. The Bible says in Matthew 14:27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Peter's on that boat. Jesus is walking on the water. Peter asked to be allowed to walk to Jesus. Peter stepped out of the ship. He did take a few steps and he began to sink. Jesus saved him. Jesus and Peter together stepped onto that ship and the storm stopped. And I love the outcome, because the Bible says at the end of that story, it says, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And folks, so you all know, when the storm of life hits, the appropriate outcome is that our eyes were kept on the Lord. And in the end, as a result of the storm, we better worship him. And we say, right, there's the Son of God. He's the one that saw me through that storm. You see, I think Jesus deserved it, the worship, if you will, because of the calming of the storm. We all face storms. And we're human. If you're like me, and I think I'm like you, there are times when we question the storms. I sometimes question the storms. I don't think today that I can answer all your questions about the storm, but I'm going to, I think, answer some. You know, asking God why is not bad if you do it with the right attitude. I think if you go to God and say, God, I'm in a storm in life, and Lord, I want to figure it out. And God, I'd like to know why. Now, let me tell you this. If you ask God in anger, if you behave in anger toward him, that's the wrong way to handle it. But I think that there are reasons for our storms. I won't know the reason why you're going through your storm, and you may not know the reason why I'm going through my storm. But there are reasons for our storms. I call the sermon today, The Reasons for Our Storms. Did you know that a smile on a face does not mean there's not a storm in the heart? Folks, let me tell you something. I would be very cautious of your behavior in the storm. You see, it's not the storm that is most apt to destroy you. It is how you react to the storm. I want to recommend that you go through the storm with Christian dignity. I want to recommend that you survive the storm. I want to recommend that others look at you and say, look how he made it through that storm. Look how she made it through the storms of life. I've been preaching for many years now, over 30 years. I've been preaching the gospel, preached 35,000 plus sermons. I used to say to myself, how often shall I preach on burdens? Will I wear the topic out? But there's no doubt in my mind, the burdens just keep coming to us. We need that encouragement. We need that touch from heaven that says you can make it. You can take it. Please stay with me today. All I want to do is give you a very simple observation. The reasons behind the storms. First of all, let me tell all of you, there is what we might call God's reason. Of course, it's all God's reason, but let me in a unique way emphasize this to you today. God's reason. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Folks, look at me very, very carefully and listen. You say, what's the reason for my storm? And point number one, it's God's reason. And just so you know, you don't have to know why. If God knows why, that's enough. God is God, and God can do what God wants. You know, folks, we may get this, and listen, He may never tell us why. He may never tell you why you go through or went through a particular burden. I wish I could get everybody to understand this. God owes you and God owes me no explanations. You and I are so limited, and there's so little that we really truly do know. But I serve a God that knows everything. And I serve a good God, and I serve a loving God. And if I go through a hardship and God never tells me why, I'm going to tell you something right now. He's still my God. He's still my God. And God, if you never explain it to me, and if you never tell me why these burdens and why these heartaches, I'm still going to serve you. Because I'm not trusting me, God, and I'm not trusting them, and I'm not trusting anybody around me. My eyes are on you. And God, if you have a reason for the storms in my life, then I'm going to keep my eyes upon you. And God, if you never tell me the reason for the burden and the heartache, you're my God. You're my God. And God, I trust you. Folks, God has a reason for everything. It's His call. It's His choice. Jesus never explained to these disciples that had been in that ship why the storm came. I don't see in the scripture where He sat down and said, okay, guys, calm down. Let me tell you everything that just happened. Let me tell you why it happened. No, the storm came, and that's the way God chose it to be, and that's the way it is. Folks, let God be God. Let God be God. If you can't decipher the reason for your storm, believe that God has a reason. Trust Him and keep your eyes on Him. Don't ever stop serving God because you can't figure out your storm. Because God has it all figured out. And so may I say, number one, the reason for our storms, God's reason. Number two, I think there is a reason for our storms. It might be so that God might grow our faith in Him. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. If you have been saved, you are justified in the eyes of God. Now, you are not only saved by faith, you are to live by faith. And God wants to grow that faith. And I think sometimes we go through the storms of life that our faith might grow. I believe the storm of our story strengthened the disciples' faith. Don't you think when they were on that ship and the wind and the waves were enormous and they were afraid they could die, and Jesus comes along and calms the storm, don't you think they walked away with a strengthened faith? I know the storm of this particular story strengthened the faith of Peter. You might say, ah, Peter stepped out of that boat and he began to sink. I know. But how many steps have you taken on top of the water? And I'm not sure. You might not think this. I think this. Yes, Peter began to sink and Jesus caught him. But I will guarantee you thereafter, every time Peter was alone on a body of water, he tried again. Why? Well, I took a few. Why not try to take another step or two? I believe Peter's faith was strengthened. And I believe the disciples' faith was strengthened in the storm. As a result of the storm, storms force our faith to a new level. Burdens cause us to need Him and to need Him who is invisible. You know, folks, we depend on ourselves so much, even when we would like to give the impression we are people of great faith. But we depend on ourselves, and we're going to solve the problem, and we're going to handle it, and we're going to figure it out. Every once in a while, a storm comes where we can't handle it, and we can't figure it out, and we can't make it, and we can't take it. And then we look up. And God strengthens our faith. Unless something takes you beyond you, your faith will never grow. Storms should not weaken your faith, but let storms strengthen your faith. If you're in a storm and your faith is weakened, that's your fault. That's not God's. That's not the storm's fault. Let your storm grow your faith in your God. Another reason that we go through our storms. And remember this, I can't figure out the reason for your storm. You won't figure out the reason for my storm. But God has reasons. May I say that it may be that your storm will grow someone else's faith in God. Your storm may grow somebody else's faith in God. Peter's step out of that boat grew his faith. But I'll promise you, there's some other guys in the boat saying, what is he doing? Look, I don't think Peter was the only one that walked away from walking on the water talking about it. I think when they all got back to shore, I'm sure Peter said, y'all aren't going to believe what happened out there. I stepped out of the water. I walked on the water. But there were some people that saw it that said, I saw it. I saw it. Faith in God. Somebody else's faith was grown because Peter went through a storm. Matthew 14:29, it says, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Look, folks, if you handle your storm properly, someone else's faith will be strengthened. Whose? You men, look at me for a second. You men need to handle your storms right. You say, why? Because your boy's going to grow up someday. He's going to be a husband. He too is going to be a daddy. I'm not the best father in the world. My boys have watched their daddy face the storms of life. I never let a storm take me out of church. I don't let the storms of life stop me from doing what's right to do. I've got to keep on going. Why? My children are watching. My son is watching. My daughter is watching. The people around me are watching. I've got to make sure. Though, yes, the storm may strengthen Jeff Owens. But when Jeff Owens goes through the storm, will it strengthen somebody else's faith? Maybe that's the whole reason for the storm. You say, oh, Brother Owens, is a storm coming upon me because I have done something wrong? No, it may be the storm is coming upon you because God chose you to show someone else how to go through a storm. Is it the strengthening of your son? Is it the strengthening of your daughter? Is it the strengthening of your wife? Is it your grandchild that watches you right now go through a storm of life? And they're watching to see what grandma will do. They're watching to see what grandpa will do. They're watching to see if you'll let the storm get you down or get you up. Or they're watching to see how you're going to behave through the storm of life. Someone is either becoming stronger by your example or weaker. Which is it? Why? What are the reasons behind our storms? Maybe a storm may come to us and its purpose is to purify our lives. To purify our lives. The Bible speaks of the word of God in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, where it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Notice that it is through the fire purification comes. Some of you that say, I would like to be purified unto the Lord. I want my life to be pure unto God. Well, I've got news for you. The only way purification comes is through the furnace and the fires of life. Just let a life-threatening situation come upon us. I don't know about you. But I start looking at my life saying, what needs to be cleaned up here? Oh, God, is there something in my life that needs to be out of my life? Is there anything that would hinder you from answering my prayers? Is there anything that would hinder you from blessing me? Is there something that's not right about me? You see, I believe there are some storms that come into our lives to purify our lives. Storms will clean up a life. Storms can purify the sin out of our lives. A sickness that lands one in the hospital could get our spiritual attention. And I must say this always here because some misinterpret it. Just because someone's sick does not mean that God is punishing them. But let me say that there are times, I think, when sickness is given to us to purify us. That's very, very possible. You won't know mine and I won't know yours. But hey, when the storms of life come, the storms could be coming in an effort to see purification in the life. Will you need a storm to clean up your life and to get you out of your backslidden state? Is that what it will take? There are reasons for our storms. And again, let me remind you, as you face a storm, I don't know that God takes it as a slap when we say, God, help me to know why the storm. It's the attitude that you approach him with and your intent in regard to the inquiry. I think you can go to God and you can go to God with a good heart and a simple heart and a loving heart. Don't go to God with a bad attitude about your storm. God may help you to understand why you go through your storm. But if he does not, you just trust God and know God knows what he's doing. God has his reason. We may go through a storm to grow our faith in God. We may go through a storm to grow somebody else's faith in God. We may go through a storm because it's going to bring a purification process in our own lives. It might even be that you and I could go through a storm that would purify someone else's life. We can't make this call. You can't say that what comes upon me, or I can't say what comes upon you. Its purpose is to speak to someone else about the purification of their life. But it's possible. Is it possible that God allows a burden or a storm to come to someone that you love in an effort to get your attention? Hey, is somebody in your life going through a storm right now? And God is allowing that someone to go through that storm because God is trying to get your attention. Not the attention of the one going through the storm, but your attention. Hey, did you know that when Stephen in the Bible, there's a story of Stephen that he was stoned. He was a deacon and he loved God and he was stoned to death. Why? I don't know. God did not give a full reason as to why Stephen was stoned, but I can tell you this. I think Stephen's stoning has helped many of us to want to purify our lives. Is it possible that Stephen was stoned in the Bible so that God could use Stephen as an example so that you and I might look at that example and say, I want my life to be more pure? I hope that God doesn't have to bring a storm in a life to help that life to become purified. But I'll tell you this, I think sometimes God will allow storms in the lives of those around us in an effort to get our attention. Is it possible that a storm has come upon a child to get a parent's backslidden attention? It's possible. I can't make that call about you. You can't make that call about me. But I will promise you, there is a reason for the storm. Right. We don't want to miss it. God also tells us, number six, that sometimes storms are what we call chastisement. Chastisement. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 19, it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. What is chastisement? That's where God spanks. If you get spanked by God, you can thank God that you do, because God spanks his kids. If you're not one of his kids, he doesn't spank you. We don't know when a storm of God is upon someone because of chastisement. You know, we can almost always figure it out, though, if God is chastising us. I was spanked a couple of times when me and my brother were together. I remember once I stuck with him through a whole episode. I really didn't have anything to do with the matter, but I wasn't coming clean with my mom. She said, well, you're both going to get it. So we both got it. Now, I didn't really deserve that one. But I remember the ones that I did deserve. And they all beat me. They all balanced out in the end. I came out on the good end of things. And I may not always know why you get spanked, and you may not always know why I get spanked, but most of the time you're going to know whether you deserve yours. We can usually know if that storm has a little something to do with what's going on in our life. What comes to your mind? Oh, have I done this? Look what's happening in my life right now. Now, I'm just talking to all these people. There's no way for me to pinpoint that to which we refer, but I think you know what I mean. Chastening is a proof of sonship. Has a storm come to you and it is God chastening or spanking you? Is it possible that one of the disciples that was on that ship when the storm came? Hey, was it possible that when that storm hit and Jesus comes walking, there was a disciple on the ship saying, oh no, I'm in trouble and I know why this storm is upon us. We don't get to hear the whole story, but there's a good chance there was somebody on the ship. Well, I know this. Everybody on the ship was trying to figure it out real quick. I'm sure they were going, if it's me, I want to get this taken care of. Are you reaping what you have sown? Have you brought your own storm upon you? What are we talking about? Reasoning and reasons for the storms in our life. I think there are times when the storms come in our lives to strengthen us, to strengthen us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Here, Paul said, burdens and heartaches, they come upon me, and those seem to make me stronger. So I think there are burdens, there are heartaches, there are storms that come upon us, and those storms can strengthen us. Listen. If you were an airplane pilot and the only time you ever flew was in fair weather, we wouldn't consider you a strong pilot because you'd never faced any storms. If I had to pick the best pilot, I would want to pick a pilot that had flown through tornadoes and storms and hurricanes. I want to pick a pilot that knew how to get through the tough times. I want to pick a pilot that understood the wind blasting into the windshield and the currents of the wind and the lightning strike and the thunder's boom. That's the kind of pilot I'd want to have flying me in life. I think sometimes the storms of life come upon us to strengthen us. Storms should strengthen our walk with God. Storms should strengthen our courage. You see, folks, spiritual muscle is not built in the good times. It's built primarily in the bad times. Noah was made as a result of that flood and the preparation for it. We wouldn't even know about Noah had he not gone through what he went through. We wouldn't even know about Noah if he had not spent 140 years preaching and no one responding and the threat of a flood coming and the entire earth being wiped out. We wouldn't even know about the man, but it was his burden that brought him up to where we get to see him. Moses was made in the storms of Egyptian captivity and in the wilderness. Let that storm make you, not break you. Let it make you stronger. Become stronger because of your storm. The devil intended for your storm to destroy you. Turn that thing around and let it make you stronger. In other words, in the storm, you ought to read your Bible more, not less. You ought to pray more, not less, in the storm. You ought to win more people to Christ, not less, during the storm. You ought to be faithful to church more during the storm, not less, because storms can strengthen us. And it's not the storm that's apt to destroy you. It's the way you respond to the storm that will destroy you. That's what will destroy you. And so I think there are reasons. I think that God has a reason. He may never tell us about it. I think there is the possible reason of the growing of our faith during a storm. I think that it may be the growing of somebody else's faith as to why we face the storm. It may be to purify our lives. It may be to purify the life of someone else. It may be chastisement for our sin. It may be to strengthen us. And may I say, it may be that we will go through a storm and God's intent is to soften us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Here the Bible speaks of tenderheartedness. Is it possible that we would go through a storm because that storm is to tenderize our heart? I was with a young preacher, strong young preacher, bold young preacher, a lot of zeal, a lot of zip, a lot of courage, a lot of backbone, a lot of grit. And I thought, that's a little powerhouse, little powerhouse. I've never heard him weep. I've never seen his tender side. I've never seen his heart. And while I was with him, I got to thinking, get ready, son. The storms are coming. Because if God is going to use all those great qualities, He's also going to have a depth of love, tenderness, and compassion out of you. And God will tenderize your heart. Hey, are you in a storm because you've become hard? Do you need a storm, hard-hearted Christian? When's the last time a sermon was preached and your heart was so tender you just had to come to the altar? Or have you become hard? Is your storm helping to tenderize your heart? Or is it making your heart harder? Well, if God wants you tenderized, He will put you through as much as it takes to get you there. And if His intent was to tenderize the heart and you get harder, then He'll put the pressure on more. And if you get harder, He'll put the pressure on more. God's not trying to do something to you. He's trying to do something for you. You have hardened your neck. You have hardened your heart. And the storm comes not to destroy you, but to make you, not to make your heart harder, but to make your heart softer. Let God soften your heart, Christian. Is God trying to soften you? Storms bring tears. And I'm not talking about the tears of anger. Have you lost your tears? How's your compassion, Christian? Have you lost your care? You lost your concern? Hard, cold, indifferent. What issue has stolen your heart? Is your heart tender toward anyone but yourself? I think sometimes our burdens come to soften us. Our hearts need to be tender. Our hearts need to be tender toward the fallen. Our hearts need to be tender toward the poor. Our hearts need to be tender toward the lost. Our hearts need to be tender toward those that are going through hardship and those that are going through burden. Hey, has God brought a burden upon you because He's trying to tenderize your heart? Is your old heart cold and hard and hateful and unforgiving? And have you pulled into yourself and like a turtle pulled into a shell and you're not letting anybody in? Let me tell you something. God can bring a burden that will break through that old hard heart. But you better let Him soften you. I think there are many reasons for our storms. I think sometimes God allows storms to prepare us. To prepare us. The Bible says in Philippians 1:12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul had told these people, he said, "I've been through shipwreck. I've been put in jail for my standing of the gospel. I've been bitten by snakes. I've been beaten and betrayed and stabbed in the back. And I've had disloyalty around me." And Paul said, "I've been through all of that." He said, "But I realize those burdens and those heartaches have come rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Hey, are you going through a storm because God is using it to prepare you? Today's storms prepare us for tomorrow's storms. So you all know, and look at me very carefully. If you're going through a storm today, this is not your last. Storms do not minimize in life. They maximize. And this isn't a preacher just philosophizing. The next one's bigger. God today prepares you for tomorrow. If you don't handle your preparation for tomorrow's storm by handling today's, what are you going to do the next one that comes along? And that is the graciousness and the kindness of our God. You children, learn to handle your storms. You'll be a teenager someday. You teenagers, learn to handle your storms. You'll be an adult someday. You single young adults, you handle your storms. You'll be married someday. You married couples without children, you better handle your storms right. You'll have youngins someday. You'll be a grandparent someday. You'll be a senior citizen someday. You'll be a widow someday. You better handle your storms right now because they're going to keep on coming. I can't get you out of it, and neither will God. everybody faces the multiplication and the amplification of those storms and the burdens of life. And God lets you start small and work your way up. You better let today prepare you for tomorrow, because if you reject and you don't handle today's right, what will you do at the next level of storm that you face? See, the storms of life prepare us. Our storms prepare us for someone else's storms. There are some of you, you're in a storm right now, and you're going to have a loved one or a friend that's going to go through a storm someday. You better learn how to deal with yours, because your friend or your loved one's going to need you. And if you don't handle your storm right, how are you going to help them to know how to handle their storm? Storms prepare us to serve Him better. Storms prepare us to serve others better. Storms prepare us to lead. David had no idea the day that he faced a bear in the wilderness and fought a bear to protect his father's sheep. David had no idea that he would fight a bear and then one day he would fight a Goliath. But the storm of the bear prepared him to fight the Goliath. Storms prepare us to be builders and producers in life. Look, if you can't face the storm of a doghouse, you'll never face a storm of a mansion in life and building something big. It's a part of our growth. I think storms sometimes come to us to warn us. To warn us. Did you know whatever you go through, it could be worse? Is your storm a sign from God that there's something that needs to change in your life or your attitude, and God's warning you that it could get worse? Examine your life to see if the storm is a pre-warning. You say there are high winds, Brother Owens. Yeah, there might be a tornado coming. You might want to make sure you're fastened down nice and tight in the faith. Right. I think our storms come to train us. Train us to have understanding. You know, there are some who are, they are so low of compassion. They watch somebody go through a hard time and they don't care and it's not their concern and they're disinterested. God may need to put you through a few storms so you can learn and be trained on how to care about other people. I'll give you a little idea. Those of you that are Pharisees and you watch someone's child get into trouble. And see, your children, they're still in grade school. Let me tell you, you got two different animals. Grade schoolers and teenagers are two different species. There are some of you that your children are still in grade school and you're critical of someone, some teenager that got in trouble. And you teenagers, you stay out of trouble. Your pastor does not back your trouble. I love you and you know that I love you. There are some of you, you're Pharisees. You see, right now, you look at, say, you know, your kids are 5, 6, and 7 years of age. You say, well, my kids aren't out smoking cigarettes. Sixth graders and you know, 6-year-olds are not usually out smoking cigarettes, folks, just so you know. I'm going to tell you something. If you can't learn to have some compassion and some tenderness toward people whose children, when they reach the teenage years, got into trouble, what happens if God retracts a little bit of His mercy, watch, care, and grace on your kids? God sometimes brings storms to train us to have compassion, to train us to have love, to train us to be patient, to train us to care, to train us to carry an emotional load. Honestly, your storms will help grow you up so you're not like a child in your emotions. They'll train you to work under pressure. Somehow you must be trained not to quit during the storm. And let me say, everybody faces the temptation to quit in their storm. Now you might be looking at someone and saying, you know what? I would not be tempted to quit under the pressure of their storm. No, it's not their storm you have to be tempted to quit under. It's your storm. Because both God and the devil know your parameters. Yes, sir. And God will stretch you. We've got to be trained to do what? I'm not going to quit during the storm. When the going gets tough, that's when I buckle down and I anchor myself in and I say, you let the strong winds blow. I have an anchor in Jesus Christ and I will not be blown off course. I will get back up. I will try again. Got to be trained to handle the storm. I think storms sometimes come to humble us. Storms can knock us down. I wonder sometimes if God doesn't want to knock us down so our pride doesn't put us down permanently. Storms can keep our out-of-hand strength in check. Storms can suppress our cockiness. I think Peter, when he began to sink, he was humbled. Has a storm come to knock you off your high horse? Well, let me tell you how I feel about this and this and this and this. Maybe God was trying to get you to figure out what was wrong with you instead of what was wrong with everybody else. Has your storm decreased your pride or increased it? If the storm's done what it's supposed to do, it's to humble you. Not to make you feel more powerful and more in charge. Oh, no, that's not what storms are supposed to do. They humble us. God is to receive glory in the storms. Thank God at the end of this storm, they all worshiped him and he received glory. I think sometimes God sends a storm to prove us. Hey, is God testing you to see if he could use you in a greater way? Is God seeing if you can be trusted? See, storms rip the siding off of a house so we can see how strong the foundation and the walls actually are. Storms uncover the real us. Does God want to bless you and use you in a big way, but he must first see if he can trust you? And the storm is the testing ground. Has your storm caused you to step up in your service for God or step out? Now, the storm wasn't brought to destroy you. So if you're stepping out, you're going the wrong direction. You were to be stepping up. I'm finished, but let me say to those of you, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've been through some storms in life. I know you have. And let me say, all the burdens and all the heartaches and everything that you've ever faced, if you're here today, and when I ask this question, if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And you say, I don't know that. Let me encourage you about something. If you're not saved, all those storms you've been through in life, let them bring you to the Savior. The reason for you might be here today, say, I'll tell you, I'm here because I just been through it. Oh, my heart is broken and the mess my family's in, the mess my marriage is in, the mess my life is in. I'm not saved and I'm here in church today. I'm looking for something. You've come to the right place. The one you're looking for is Jesus Christ. Let all the storms of life lead you to the Savior. God brought you to this church and you're not saved. You look back on your life and everything that you've ever been through and let every one of those be a stepping stone that brings you to this day and this hour to where you can say, I found the Savior. Because the storms in life bring people to salvation. I've watched people who are unsaved go through a storm, and as a result, someone shows up with the gospel. I watched a man that was very hard, that wanted nothing to do with the gospel. He was diagnosed with cancer. He was given the gospel, and immediately he said, I've rejected it for 70 years. Now, I'll take it. Let the storms bring you to Jesus, where you can be saved. The reasons for the storms in life. You don't know the reason for mine. I don't know the reason for yours. God knows the reason. But you can look through some of these, and you can figure out, is that the reason for my storm? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question is to those of you that are unsaved. If you died today and you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven. If you today, if you were to die and face God, you're not saved. You're not born again. You're not on your way to heaven. If that is you, you need to be born again. You need to trust Christ. Who here would say, preacher, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure for heaven, but I want to be. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. I want to go to heaven someday, but I'm not sure that I would. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me, preacher. I'm not sure, but I'd like to know. I don't know, but I'd like to know. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I'm not sure. I see that hand. God bless you. Who else? You say, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know I'd go to heaven, but I don't know it. God bless you. There's another hand. You say, I'm not sure. I'd like to know. I've gone through the storms of life and I need the Savior. I see it. You may put those hands down. In a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, the men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform. They'll post themselves at the end of each aisle down front on the lower floor. Those of you that just raised your hand, whether you're in the balcony or the lower floor, I want you to leave your seat. I want you to walk back into this auditorium. You walk down the aisle, walk up to one of the men standing down front, and you say, I want to be born again. We're going to have someone take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Men, make sure you get to your post quickly. If you should have raised your hand and you didn't, you come in a moment. You walk down. You just go ahead and come. Even if you didn't raise your hand, you come. We're going to take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Hey, all the storms you've been through in life, let them all have led you to this point where you need the Savior and you're going to trust Him. He'll see you through the storms from here on out. Who here would say, preacher, I've analyzed what you said today. The Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart. I'm going through a storm. I'm looking. I want God to be glorified in that storm. And I've glanced at your reasoning and the reasoning that's in the Bible. And God has definitely spoken to my heart about my storm. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? There are hands up all over this building. If you need the altar for a moment, you come and you get on your knees at this altar. Maybe you need to come down here and say, God, if you'll show me, I want to learn from my storm. But maybe somebody, you say, I cannot figure it out. Preacher, I cannot figure out what is the reason for my storm. Maybe you just need to come down here and get on your knees and say, God, I've been trying to figure out the reason, but I'll be honest with you, God. I'll let it be your reason and I'm going to keep on serving you. You don't have to tell me, God. If you choose not to tell me, fine, I'll just trust you. I'll trust you. Maybe someone, you're away from God and the reason for your storm is you need to come back to God. I don't know. You'll know your reasoning. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet.